Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
I didn't buy into the hype about the Rams. You didn't either. But there were people, I mean, we know smart football people.
A big time.
Long-time football people. Picking the Rams to get to the Super Bowl and win it, and Matt Stafford to be the MVP. Now, let me say this. I'm not writing them off. I think they're in that group of five contenders in the NFC that's emerged. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Arizona, Dallas, and the Rams. They're in that pack. I don't think they're the favorite in that pack, but they're in the pack. So to me, they are essentially what I thought they were. I'm not writing them off after a couple of bad losses, because then we'd have to write off half of the contenders, if not most of the contenders. Tampa Bay's had bad losses. The Ravens have bad losses. Kansas City. Dallas was down 30-0 to Denver 2 weeks ago. Not even 2 weeks ago. You know, we could go on and on. Green Bay, obviously, the first game of the year. So I'm not writing them off. And so for me, this is, you know, they are what they are. But for those that have picked them to win the Super Bowl and all that, Rob, I had two issues. Well, I had mainly one issue. And that was, what was Matt Stafford going to be? I believe he's better than Jared Goff. But I didn't buy into the fact that he's the second coming of Joe Montana either. You know, now that he's got a team around him. Now that he's
Wait a minute. Hold on. So what are you saying, Chris? Is he a Messiah? Here we go.
Where's your Messiah now?
Okay, go ahead. You said he was the second coming. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Some thought that. I didn't. Like I said, he's an upgrade. But how much of an upgrade is the question? And we've had Eric Dickerson and others on the show, Rob. What have they said? Matt Stafford can do it when nothing else is working, right? Oh, Jared Goff needed a running game. You know, he couldn't do it, you know, without the strong running game. Well, it looks like Stafford needs the same thing. And I also, and this, I'm throwing it to you, Rob. One of my big questions about Stafford was that he's played, obviously played the bulk of his career in Detroit, all of it now that it, before he came to the Rams. And outside of the pressure of being the high draft pick that he was in his early in his career, he hasn't played under a lot of pressure. He hasn't played under the expectations. He hasn't played in a lot of big games. The three playoff games he did play in, they lost all of them. He wasn't great. And so now you are under the spotlight. You are in under scrutiny every single game. And people were saying you were going to be the MVP. Pressure, expectations. And that only increased when they started 7-1 and he was arguably the front runner for the MVP. And now, Rob, I don't know that it's a coincidence that in his last two games, four picks, two pick sixes.
Five turnovers overall.
Is he cracking under the pressure?
No, you know what? This is the Matt Stafford I've been talking about for a long time. I mean, and all the other people, and I fill in on the local radio station AM 570 here in Los Angeles, and you know, they shout me down every week about the Rams and Stafford, and which is fine. And they thought he was the second coming, and he was the Messiah, and he was going to lead them to the Super Bowl. And, oh, my, what an upgrade. Oh, they stole Matthew Stafford. This is unbelievable. Wow. Like, look at this guy. He can do everything. I've been watching this guy since his first snap. This is not an anti-I-hate Matthew Stafford stance. I've watched him. Chris, I've watched him in big games. I've watched him beat up inferior competition and put up Hall of Fame numbers. I've watched this guy. And I've also watched Matthew Stafford when they play the big boys and the games that matter. Like when Arizona showed up. right? You can beat – if you want to just claim that they beat the Giants and they beat the Seahawks and they beat the Lions and they beat the Texans, you want to claim all of those, that's fine. And they've had four other games, Chris, where they play good competition. And I'm adding the 49ers because it was a divisional game and all
that. And they're a legit team.
Okay, right. That's what I'm
saying. Despite their record.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw them in there. And all of a sudden, Matthew Stafford's 1-3 in those games. He played well and beat Tampa Bay, Chris. I will take my cap off. I can't say anything about that game. The Titans come to L.A., Chris, without their best player. Two picks, whatever. Lose that game. Then the same thing, chance to knock off the 49ers and do what they could do in that game. Again, straight the first two possessions of the game, two turnovers, including a pick six. I heard a number today, Rob G, maybe you can find it. He has a lifetime of 29 pick sixes in his career. But anyway,
it is a lot, Chris.
I think that's what the number is, like 29.
Wow. Find that, Rob G.
This is who Matthew Stafford is. He doesn't perform against the better teams and in the big games.
25,
I've seen
Rob,
him.
25 picks.
Is it 25?
Where's that rank, Rob G? That's got to be
high. I know I heard the numbers in the
20s. That is tied for sixth all time.
Yeah. I know it's a lot.
That's got to be up there.
And I wonder, Rob G, any of those guys are number one overall picks, the other five guys ahead of them, you know what I mean?
One of them is Peyton Manning, who's at 27.
Wow. Okay.
But he played, like, longer than I've been alive.
Right.
And Peyton Manning had five MVPs?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. All right. But my point is, this is who Matthew Stafford is. And the Rams, for all the people who were sending them to the Super Bowl, and Matthew Stafford was going to be your MVP, they're fraudulent to this point. Fraudulent. With a capital F. They're not going to a Super Bowl. Have you watched them be pushed around the last couple of weeks?
Oh,
Chris,
you said it.
They getting pushed around like rag dolls. This is not the number one defense of a year ago.
No, it isn't.
It ain't. They're not the Super Bowl. My butt. The Rams are going to the Super Bowl. And when Matthew Stafford wins a big game in a big spot, call me. Because it doesn't happen that often. All of you guys were wrong. You NFL analysts and former players. Oh, look at the Rams. They're playing like the Lambs. That's who they are right now.
So are you saying they've got no chance, Rob? Are you like, there's no way
they're not going to the Super Bowl is my point, Chris. No, they're not. Because A, they're not physical. B, this ain't no shutdown defense that they had a year ago when they were number one. And C, Matthew Stafford has disintegrated when the games have mattered most and the big primetime games. How the hell did they lose to the Titans without Derrick Henry in Los Angeles? That's an indictment.
I'm not going to go as far as to say they got no chance. Like I said, I think they're in that group of five contenders in the NFC. Now, I like Tampa better, even though they got beat by the Rams. I like Green Bay better because Rodgers I trust more, even though he's had his struggles in the championship games. I certainly trust him more than Stafford. Dallas, you know, there's question marks. But you know, them and the Rams. Arizona, they're young. Kyler's never done it in the playoff, you know. So
can't stay healthy. They're
there's some questions there. Right. So I'm not going to totally write them off, but they're not, again, people that got them as the favorite and all that. And you touched on it, Rob. Stafford's the first thing. The second thing is that defense. And I didn't think I'd see a team featuring Aaron Donald.
Thank you.
Get pushed around like they did yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers had the ball for more than 39 minutes. How does that happen? Their first drive, Rob, it lasted more than 11 minutes. Guess what? That was the first 11-plus minute drive in the NFL since 2018.
Chris, let me give you two other numbers. The 49ers hadn't won a home game in a calendar year before last night. That's how bad it was. And you're talking about that defense? The 49ers had absolutely no respect for the Rams. They ran the ball, Chris, 70% of the time.
Yep.
And ran on the first down every play, the first down every time except once. So they had no respect for the Rams front seven, and they said, "We're running the football, and guess what? There's nothing you can do about it." How's that team going to go to the Super Bowl?
They got punched in the mouth. Absolutely. They got punched in the mouth.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, that's neither here nor there. What is here is Charles Robinson, friend of the show, wrote this, Rob, a column yesterday. Here's the title. Browns may need to look at QB options beyond Baker Mayfield. All right, he's putting it out there, Rob, because Baker Mayfield hasn't gotten a long-term deal, right? He's in his fourth year. The team has not offered him the huge long-term contract. And what they did do is lock him up for the fifth-year option, so he's playing next year for them. And obviously franchise tags later on down the line, or at least at this point, on the table. So what is your thought on whether or not the Browns should do what Charles Robinson put out there?
I think it's misguided. And unless, Chris, the only way it's not misguided is if you could swing a trade and get Aaron Rodgers Russell Wilson or something like that. I mean, barring that, there's nobody out there. There's nobody you're drafting. I think this is misguided and wrong, and they should give this guy a vote of confidence other than, Chris, some situation that falls into your lap where the Packers and Aaron Rodgers can't come to terms or something of that ilk.
So when you say a vote of confidence, what, they need to come out and say he's our quarterback in a few?
He's like, our quarterback. What do you mean? And yes, because this is the same guy who won their first playoff game in 26 years. Like, who the hell are the Browns now?
Don't be ripping Cleveland.
I am ripping Cleveland.
Cleveland! They got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a great aquarium.
Oh, yeah, and the mistake on the lake. That's what it's called. But my point is, he won their first playoff game in 26 years. The Browns won 11 games. Chris, I don't want to give him a medal or a parade, but let's not act like, and I'm not saying he's played great this year, okay? I'll give you that. But really? They've had 30 quarterbacks in the last 30 years, and now the one guy who had a great year for them, who won them a playoff game against their rivals, the Steelers, now all of a sudden, well, you know, we don't know if we really want him. We need to look around, and maybe there's a Case Keenum laying around. I know that's not, you know, exactly who they're looking for, but Chris, that's who's out there.
Yeah, that darn right ain't who they're looking for.
But that's who's out there, Garoppolo and people like that.
In the article that Charles Robinson wrote, he used the example of Tennessee when they had Marcus Mariota, who we remember was a top draft pick, and everybody was expecting big things from him. He looked okay, had his moments, but they weren't sure about him. They move on from him and go get Ryan Tannehill, who was nobody's idea of a star at that time. And obviously the rest is history, and they become a viable playoff team. To your point, so that's, I'm with you on that. I'm not looking for the next Ryan freaking Tannehill.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm with you on, I'm not getting rid of Baker for Jimmy G, as much as, you know, both of you and I have said, Jimmy G's solid. But I'm not moving on from Baker Mayfield from him, because I don't think that's much of an upgrade.
Right.
I'm not doing it for a Teddy Bridgewater, a Case, any of these average, run-of-the-mill, nondescript quarterbacks as Ryan Tannehill was in Miami. Okay. But where I depart from you, Rob, is, and I hear you, first playoff appearance in 18 years. First victory in 26 years in the playoffs. I get it. They had a bunch of terrible quarterbacks running there. It was like
Chris,
a different quarterback every year.
It's ridiculous.
Even
right.
more frequently. So I hear you. It's not like I'm down on Baker or I'm like he's not going to be our quarterback going forward. But, Rob, I am kicking the tires if I'm the Browns on some of the guys you mentioned. Yeah, I'm shooting my shot at Aaron Rodgers. And yeah, I'm shooting my shot at Russell Wilson, who sounded disgruntled this past offseason. And yeah, if Deshaun Watson gets through his legal issues and can play football, I'm going for him. Now, if I don't get those guys, then I got Baker. And Baker, I'm not signing him to a long-term deal this summer. Unless, you know, he just takes off over the rest of the season and leads him to, like, the AFC Championship game or something. But I have him on a fifth-year prove-it deal, Rob, where he's got to play well and, you know, we'll see what he does. And if he doesn't convince me then, I'll franchise him. And I got three. I don't want to do it for 3 years, but, hey, I got that option. So I just think that there's no need to – certainly I'm not throwing $40 million at him. And I understand in the long run it could cost me a little bit more money, right, if I keep franchising him and
we
then
saw
decide
that with
he's
Dak
our
Prescott.
Guy. Exactly.
Dak Prescott got way more, Chris, because they waited.
Yep.
And they played the waiting game. You're going to pay. And like I said, unless you know you can get
but
one
wouldn't
of those
you
other
kick
guys.
The tire? So you wouldn't even try for
no,
any of the three
I
guys I mentioned?
I would give him more love and respect than he gets. All these stories and all this stuff out there, like I just don't feel like they fully embraced him. And Chris, especially coming off of last year, I think
you're playing into it, which I get to a degree. I think part of your thinking though is they're the Browns. They've been horrible. Be happy with where you're at. And I get that because, and that's why I'm fine with Baker if I can't get somebody better. But Baker's not that star yet, Rob, and may never be, where I'm like, I'm not looking at anybody else, you know?
I just think that it's a pipe dream. Everybody's looking for a quarterback upgrade, Chris, and there's just not that many guys out there.
There's those three. That's it. There's those three. And I get it. If they leave, are they looking to go to Cleveland? Maybe not. Certainly you're looking at the city, as much as I may love Cleveland, and you're saying, I'm not going there. But if Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson wants to win, then I think the Browns would have to be on their short list.
Yeah,
if they leave, and they may not, you know, those two besides Watson may not even leave. I'm just saying, Rob, I'm making a call, like I'm checking it out, and you know, Baker's not going anywhere. And if me looking at two future Hall of Famers is going to ruffle your feathers, and now you can't perform, then you're not that guy anyway.
Yeah, I get that. And if you have a chance to upgrade to one of those two, but
What about Watson?
And Watson, I mean, he's a big X factor just because I just don't know, Chris. Like, can the Browns really afford to make a move and this guy wind up in prison?
You
know what I mean? Like, you're the Browns. Like, you can't take that. I don't think they could take that risk. It would just
Well, no, you got to know he's going
right?
to be able to play.
Right,
yeah,
right.
I agree
you have
with you
to.
There.
Right. You have to.
Right.
I just think I get it. What did Baker have last week? 43 yards? Is that what the number was?
I think 70 or something like that.
Is that what it was?
73 maybe. Yeah, but it was in the 70s.
It was ridiculous is what it was.
Well, here's where I'm at, and I wonder if you like this comparison. I think right now, Rob, and I'm not saying Baker can't become a star because Dak Prescott was a game manager a few years ago. And now he's become, at least in my eyes and the eyes of many, a star. Okay, so Baker does have talent. Maybe he'll develop and grow into that. But right now, Rob, I think he is kind of this generation's version of Jim McMahon. He's a game manager with moxie, with spunk, with swagger. And Jim McMahon won a Super Bowl, right, as the starter. Now, it took the best, one of the best defenses we've ever seen, and one of the best running backs we've ever seen. Walter Payton, who ran for 1,500 yards that year.
Don't forget, Chris, when they won that Super Bowl, the players carried off Mike Ditka, one group, and the other group carried off Buddy Ryan, who was the defensive coordinator, carried him off the field.
Right.
That's how big that great right. that defense was.
Absolutely. And I think I would have liked to have seen them carry off Walter Payton.
You know, that would have been nice, too.
Or at least give him a touchdown. We remember the controversy around that when he didn't get a touchdown in the Super Bowl. But I do you like that comparison? He's got that attitude, that cockiness that McMahon had. He's tough. He's got toughness, too. But right now, he doesn't have the game of that. He's got the game of a game manager. And look, they got a strong running game. They got a defense that, at least on paper, is very good.
There's a lot of things to like. And we saw them even last year. Remember, they played well against Kansas City, Chris, for most of that game. They were in that game.
Right. Well, at that time, we don't know what Kansas City was, you know.
And the other thing, too, that just real quick, some numbers. Baker without OBJ in his career, quarterback rating 100.1. 14 touchdowns, only 3 picks. That's since 2009. And Chris, 8-5 as a starter.
2009? 2019.
19. And 8-5 as a starter. So he's performed like even
But you said they had a light schedule, didn't they, toward the end of last year? A lighter schedule. But I'm with you. He was definitely better without.
Couple of big games that they won on the road,
and he beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs without his coach. You know, so I'm with you. I'm not like down on Baker, but I'm just saying if I can upgrade to a star, then I'm doing that. But otherwise, I'm sticking with Baker.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Right now, the Golden State Warriors up 71-63 on the Brooklyn Nets in Brooklyn. These are two of the top teams in the league, obviously. But even record-wise right now, I think Brooklyn's, 10-4? And Golden State's 11-2.
Right.
Best record in the NBA. Shocking people. They haven't even gotten Klay Thompson back yet, but they look great. Steph Curry, arguably the MVP right now. Kevin Durant certainly in the conversation, and probably Nikola Jokic as well. But Steph's doing his thing, picking up where he left off last year, maybe even playing better. But Rob, you wrote a column your trash talk today.
Yeah. It was just
you went off on the Brooklyn, the those who doubted the Brooklyn Nets. So go ahead, share your feelings, why you trashed folks, and what your thoughts are on these Nets.
No, I think a lot of people thought Kyrie, and obviously he's a great player, if you have him, it makes your road easier. But in the NBA, you just need two great players. If you have two great players, you have a chance to win. And obviously, if these two guys are healthy and they perform like they're capable, and I'm talking about Durant and Harden, with the supporting cast that the Nets have, I think they have a really good team and have a chance to win a championship even without Kyrie. And I think people thought that maybe it was going to derail them. They got off to a uneven start, a bad start, whatever you want to call it, Chris. Harden wasn't getting up to the line, wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. But they were the first team in the Eastern Conference with 10 wins. They've won 8 out of their last 9. They're playing Golden State tonight. Obviously, they're trailing right now. Still a long way to go in this game. But I think that if you're the Nets, you got to feel good considering – a big piece that you were counting on is not a part of it. So you could have been, closer to 500 or even in that situation. We've seen some of the other good teams got off to really bad starts or uneven starts. Even Milwaukee. What is Milwaukee's record, Chris? Are they still under 500? They're like 6-7.
6-8, yep. They've had 6-8? 6-8, yep.
I mean, they have their pieces. I know they've had some injuries, but that's a part of the game, and you would go like Milwaukee. You would think after winning the championship and having confidence and knowing what you can do and what you can accomplish, they'd have, the pressure would be off. Isn't it easier, Chris, to play after you've won from the standpoint of that monkey's off your back if you're Giannis. I can just play. Nobody can take that championship away. So I think there's a lot of Kyrie fans who were hoping the Nets were going to get off to a terrible start, and they would rue the day that the Nets decided not to have part-time Kyrie, and instead Kevin Durant's leading the league in scoring, and James Harden is playing better and has way more room for him to be the James Harden that we've known and seen. So I'm cool with where the Nets are, and I think as time goes on, you don't have to peak in the first month of the season or the first – they've only played, 14 games. But I think people who thought maybe this was going to derail them, I think they were wrong. I'm not saying everybody, but there were some out there.
See, I got issues with your whole take because, number one, who – okay, Nick Wright, my partner on First Things First. Okay, he's not a high on Brooklyn. We know that. But I get where you were coming from with those that have praised Matt Stafford and said he was the savior and he was going to lead them to the promised land and all that, because that was a lot of people. I just don't think there was this groundswell of people saying, uh-oh, Brooklyn's done. Because Kyrie's done.
I didn't say that they were done, but there are people out there who just thought that losing Kyrie could derail them. And after they got
it has derailed them.
They're
not playing well. They're 10-4. Yeah, they had the
best. And that's great, Chris. You know what? It would be great not to play well.
You're a stickler.
10-4.
You're a stickler.
And not play well.
You're a stickler for who you beat. Who you beat? The Nets have beaten two teams with winning records. All right? They ain't beaten hardly anybody. Philadelphia, which is missing players, they beat. And Washington, who I don't really think is for real.
Washington's 10-3. They're not for real.
They'll come back to earth. Trust me.
Can we go over Golden State's schedule?
No. You don't hear me up here saying – trash talking people that doubted Golden State, which is a lot more than doubted Brooklyn. But Brooklyn is 2-3 against teams above 500. Chicago beat them. Miami beat them. Charlotte beat them. So I picked Brooklyn to win it like you without Kyrie. So I'm not like down on them. I'm just saying this notion that they're shutting people up. They ain't shutting nobody up. Because James Harden better step it up. The way they're playing right now, Rob, they won't win the championship.
Chris,
James Harden needs to be James Harden.
You don't need to be championship ready in November, 14 games
fine.
Into the season.
Rob,
no, hear me out. If they were 4-10, you would be like,
who on earth thought they'd be 4-10?
They could be
4-10. Would they make it up some fan?
No, they could be
4-10.
Why not? Milwaukee 6-8. Milwaukee 6-8. Why can't they be 4-10?
Because Milwaukee doesn't. I'm gonna tell you if you be quiet. Milwaukee doesn't have Kevin Durant.
They just won the championship. They got one of the best players in the league. What are you talking about?
Milwaukee.
I don't understand it. Milwaukee 6-8.
Look, you're yelling. You're making noise. You ain't saying nothing. All right. You just said it. Milwaukee's got one of the best players
in
the world.
They just won the championship. How did they win?
What'd you say when they won it? Injury prone.
How did they win?
Phoenix, they got a Phoenix team that got to the finals because everybody else was banged up. They beat a Brooklyn team that was banged up.
That's how the Warriors won their first championship.
They got to play freaking Atlanta in the playoff, in the conference finals. So stop it with that.
Are they NBA champs or not?
Rob, can I talk? Two of their three best players, they don't have Kevin Durant and James Harden. And if you're sitting here telling me James Harden is playing well enough for them to win the championship, you're off.
No, that's not what I said.
I believe he's going to get better, but he better get better. This act he's pulling would be fine if they had Kyrie to give him 26 a night to compliment Durant. But if Kyrie's not coming back, then James Harden better get closer to the Harden of Houston. All right, and start giving me 25 plus a night. All right, because they don't have enough. They don't have a legitimate other big-time scorer that they're going to need without Kyrie. It can be Harden, but he better start playing like it. He's had a couple of nights, a couple, maybe three. I know that's more than a couple, where he's gotten to the line, and that's when he scored the big points. But for the most part, he ain't getting to the line.
Chris, what James Harden, you expect that James Harden, who got off to the rough start, to be the guy who's going to be playing in April? I'm asking you.
All I'm saying is it better not be.
I'm asking you, is that who you expect?
I don't know what I expect. Okay. I'm saying it better not be. That's what I'm saying.
He has long of enough track record that James Harden, who's been a big-time star in this league for a long time, will be there at the end. My point is, with the way James Harden has played, according to you, they should be 4-10. Because you're saying he's played
as garbage. They've had an easy schedule, Rob.
How was Milwaukee 6-8? I'm asking you.
New Orleans, Oklahoma City, Toronto, Detroit, Atlanta, Indianapolis. That's
who
they've beaten.
Chris, you know what it's called? It's called the NBA.
Oh, well, why don't you say that when it's the NFL?
It's called the NBA.
Why did you just shoot down the Rams? Because, they haven't beaten anybody.
Because the three teams they lost are good teams. That's the difference.
You're a roller coaster.
That's the difference.
If I like them, it record doesn't matter.
As can
if
be.
I don't like them,
no.
What was your
I'm
answer?
I'm as consistent as can be.
What was
and
your
because
answer?
The Rams have nothing, because the three games, the most important games they've had this year against division rivals, they've lost. And they lost to Derrick Henry.
Same thing for Brooklyn.
And
they're getting waxed right now by Golden
State. Can't even
15
equate,
at home.
You can't equate 17 football
Chicago
games
was
with
a
80,
big game.
With
they
82
got beat.
Basketball
Miami
games.
Miami was
it.
A big game.
You know
they
better
got
than
beat.
That. 82 you're, basketball you're, games? You're, come here, on, here, man.
Here's
stop
the crux
it.
Of the matter. Your trash talk this week was trash. You know who I'm trashing? I'm trashing Rob Parker for that weak trash talk. There ain't a fan on earth that thought the Nets would be 4-10. Stop it. Stop it.